time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Rob Ray with Schoep and the Bulldog. Rob Ray's appearance on WGR is brought to you by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Steve Foley Law, settle for more today. Settle for more with Steve Foley. Call 249-2222.
All right, it is a Sabres game night. Sabres in Montreal to play the Canadiens. Puck drop a little after 7:30. We've got Rob Ray on the Wester hotline for us, live from Montreal. Mr. Ray, how are things this afternoon?
Good, Doug. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm fighting a little bit of a cold, but I'm all right. I'm hanging in there. I got cough drops going. You know, I'm good.
You've been kind of down and out lately, haven't you?
Now, what is that supposed to mean? I've been kind of down and out lately.
I haven't talked to you that much, but when I do, it just seems like you're kind of maybe down and out, like you're not happy or something.
Wow. Now I'm questioning, like, what sort of vibe I'm putting out there. Like, I don't know.
I feel, wow.
You're cutting me here.
Are you not happy with things or what?
No, everything's good.
I mean, well, the football team is 2-7, but Josh Allen is not playing. I mean, that will maybe get him down, I guess.
Sal's here, by the way. Mike's got the day.
Yeah, hey, Sal. But it's Sal's always upbeat. He's got no problem.
No, well, that's
you
right.
You and Mike have noticed is you've got some issues.
Oh, now it's both of us. It's not just me.
I think maybe you should talk about them. You should get it out of you. You cannot let this stuff get you down.
Well,
okay?
Rob.
You're not a young man, okay?
Right. Well,
you're not in that great of shape. So if you start letting this stuff pile on, bad stuff can happen.
I do appreciate this. I feel like this means that our friendship is on a level that maybe I wasn't aware of, and I'm glad about that because I do like and admire you. And I do feel I feel badly about my physical condition. I could be in better shape, and I used to be in better shape, so I'm not happy about that. But really, Rob, my job is to talk about football for 22 hours a week in Buffalo, New York. How happy am I supposed to be?
Well, maybe it's time to look for a different job.
Okay.
If you can't separate your job from your rest of your life, it's taking too much of a toll on you, I think. You don't live forever, Chris.
Not to mention that the hockey team hasn't been in the playoffs since 2011 either, by the way. So, you know, I could use a little...
There's nothing you can do to change the outcome of either one of those.
I think that's right.
So just relax. Huh?
The best thing that's happened in sports to me in the last few years is my kid developing as a goalie. Like that's really it.
That's what you should grab onto.
I feel great about that, but
gravitate to put all this other stuff aside.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, all
right. Just let it go.
I'll consider all of this, Rob, at another time. I appreciate this.
I just want you to be around for that day when your kid might get that opportunity to.
Thank you.
Be at that ultimate peak.
Me too. Me too.
It would really suck if it was just him and your wife and your brother there. Okay? Think about it.
Wow. This conversation, what I wanted to bring up to you was the bathrooms in the hotel in Montreal. And, like, you started on this with me. And, like, now I just don't know, like, if that's really going to work. But I remember a few years ago that was a thing with you. Like, is it still the situation? Like, you're fascinated by the fixtures in the bathroom in the hotel in Montreal?
No, it's still there. It's still there, and it's nice to sit on it and play with the buttons and, you know, but... No, you do it for a little while now. Before, you'd sit there until your legs went numb. Now you just go there when you have to go there.
Did Joe tell us, I think Joe, producer, said he called the hotel maybe and the woman only spoke French that he spoke to on the line to get to your room?
I went to the rink today, right? And I had to go around the back to the security because I walked to the rink. And I walked in, I had my pass, my NHL pass, and the guy goes, you know, asked me what my name was in broken English. I said, Rob Ray. And the guy looked, and he looked, and it was like, I swear to God, 10 minutes. He just kept saying, not here, not here, it's not here. And finally, this other guy comes in, and the other guy's standing there, and he smiles, and he had recognized me, and he's like, what are you doing? He goes, his name's not on the list. And he goes, are you sure you're with the Sabres? And I go, yeah, for about 30 years. And the guy starts laughing. He was looking under for Rob Ray, and it was Robert Ray on the list, and he couldn't figure out that it was the same person.
If you would have said Robert Ray, maybe you would have been okay.
That's a little bit of a communication breakdown there.
But this is an awesome city to visit. I would think even now, great. Still as media, but as a player, like trips to Montreal had to be pretty great, right?
Yeah, it was. And you know what? I was sitting outside last night, or when we first got here, I'm having a cigar, and I'm sitting there, I'm thinking about all the times. And I said, you know what? I'm getting up and I'm going. And I started walking around to all the places that we used to go, you know, like Thursdays. And I was like, you take a look in there. And I was like, yeah, still the same. Went to Wanda's. Yeah, walked in, took Rick. Yeah. Worked my way over to the Chaperie at the 5 o'clock buffet. Same buffet still there, and took a look. And I'm like, yeah, that was fun. Went to the Shed. It was just like, yeah, it was kind of. And as soon as you walk in through the doors, you remember all the good times and everything. And it's like, man, it used to be a lot of fun. You used to have so much fun. And the guys used to be together all the time. And this is a place that if you came in after a game and you weren't playing the next day, it would like you'd run in the door of the hotel, throw your bags in a pile, and run out because you had to get out, you know, before the, last call and everything. So you used to come in the middle of the morning and find your bags in a pile and then work your way up to your room from there. So it used to be a ton of fun.
Yeah, I'll bet. It's nice that, with all the, you're pretty old. So like the, these places, they're all still there. I'm interested.
Come on, it was amazing.
I was worried you were going to say they're all condominiums now or something instead
nope,
of like.
No. The only one, there was only one that I couldn't find, and it was over off Crescent Street, and obviously it's gone, but yeah. The other ones were all there that I went to.
Yeah, I certainly going to get to the team. They've only got one win in their last five here, but I think they've been playing pretty well. A couple of overtime losses mixed in there, and we'll get to that in a moment here. But just talking about being on the road and traveling, I want to make sure we have a lot of time to talk about what happened with the Ottawa Senators and the Uber driver in that video. I mean, there's a few different ways to go here. Like, there's, first of all, the recording of the conversation in and of itself, which I think is tough. I don't know exactly how right it is that this guy recorded that and then made it public. These guys didn't know that they were being recorded. I have some sympathy for them. I kind of feel bad that they, got caught talking about their bosses, basically. But I imagine that it's extremely commonplace for players to be bitching about their coaches.
Every day. Every day. And it happens all the time. And that's, whether it's in the dressing room, whether it's at dinner, anywhere. You're never 100% happy with somebody. And somebody will bring something up and, it just kind of goes on and on. And a lot of the times it's for fun. You're making a joke at it and, it's just all crazy little things like that, happen when you're away. And it's your time to maybe get that off your chest a little bit sometimes, too. But you do get into situations like what they are. You get into an Uber, and a lot of them do say that this ride is being videotaped. But what a jerk this guy that, puts it out there, not understanding maybe the repercussions of it. But that stuff is talked about all the time. And, and I would expect every coach would be out there thinking, at some point that the players are talking about them too in a negative way. It's difficult. But I can honestly say it happened, if not every day, every other day.
Yeah. And like, even it's probably the kind of thing where, like, even if you weren't upset about a coach yourself necessarily at that time, you sort of, I don't know, the peer pressure would be to kind of go along with it because your turn's probably going to come up eventually anyway, right? So if somebody else is complaining, you kind of probably want to enable them a little bit because it's going to be your turn probably next week, right?
Well, it's a teammate, and at that time, if he's saying something like that, he's venting, and he's knowing that he can vent to you or whomever else is with you and feel comfortable that, it's okay to do that and it's never going to go back to him. And you as a teammate, or as hopefully as a good teammate, you support him in that way, whether you believe him or not, or it's not always the same thoughts from each guy.
Right.
But you're you just go along with it, and most of the time it just kind of, it's hot air and it's gone. So you can't, it's not a time where you sit, no, that's not right. He does a great job. You'd never hear that from a player to a player that is, complaining about another coach or something. So,
right.
Maybe another player, you may step in and say something, but from a player about a coach, no, you're always going to be supportive, and even if you don't believe it or not, you're still going to do it. And so, yeah, it's you know, it's that time where you feel you're 100% comfortable and 100% able to say whatever you want and not get in any trouble for it.
I guess I'm thinking of an example of a time when you might not agree with the criticism being levied by one of your teammates. Be like, no names need to be mentioned here, obviously, but like somebody who obviously doesn't warrant being on the power play, complaining about not being on the power play. And you'd be sitting like, yeah, okay, whatever, dude. Like, I hear you. Yeah, man, that sucks. But like in the back of your mind.
Yeah, that better be two guys that aren't on the power play talking about that, though.
Right.
I said that every day. Like, I should have been on that thing.
Yeah. Really, you still believe that now?
That's the downfall of every coach I ever had in the pros, that the reason I got fired is they did not have me on the power play. I'll come out and say it.
You envision having been able to carve out a role for yourself like Thomas Holmstrom in front of the net, maybe, Rob?
Yeah, but you don't know, Chris, until you get that chance, okay? You need to have that chance. In a lot of cases, you don't get it.
See, now, it sounds like you're walking around with some bitterness. It sounds like you're the one who needs a little, you know, to get clear of some stuff now.
No, I get it out. Trust me, I don't like that.
We can all help each other.
Like it or not, I guess I'm not politically correct all the time. Some people like it, some don't, but... In my world, in my head, it doesn't matter. I'm going to say what I want to say.
Rob Ray is on the Wester hotline with us from Montreal. The Sabres and the Canadiens meeting tonight. Face-off just around 7:30. Pre-game show coming your way at 6:30. So I mentioned it there. Like if we're good on the Ottawa thing, right? Like what? No, maybe not. One more thing on it. What? Despite the fact that the coaches would know that it happens and it's commonplace, the fact that it's public, like, I don't know, how much more challenging is it now for, like, those coaches and players to relate to one another?
Well, I think that the A number one thing would be the coach should call whomever in is on the penalty kill, that's what they're complaining about, and sit and go over it. Hey, it's obviously not working or they're not complaining about it, right? So why not get them together and try to figure out how to make it work? And, you know, if they do have that much to say about it, then, you know, maybe start putting their input into it and try to change, you know, their views of you as a penalty-killing coach and, you know, work together to try to get it where it need to be. But when it's bad like that, yeah, you're not going to blame yourself as a player. You're going to blame the guy that's in charge of it. Same as a power play when the power play sucks. You know, in most cases, the blame falls upon the coach that is the power play coach. It's not the guys on the ice that trying to execute it. So I would just pull it together. I was coach, and I would, you know, make sure they were, you know, on the same page. And, hey, it was nothing that bad that was said. You know, a lot of joking about it, but It was nothing that, you know, the guy's the biggest jerk in the world type thing that, you know, you're not going to ever be able to get over it. I said worse things are said amongst each other and to each other in a dressing room sometimes during a game than, you know, what was said in that car.
Yeah, well, there didn't seem to be any hangover from it. I think they won the night after that video came out, 7-3, Ottawa did. I forget who they beat, but they drilled somebody pretty good. Speaking of getting drilled pretty good, 9-2. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Saturday, we haven't talked to you since Thursday, the loss up in Ottawa there on the back end of the home-and-home. The Sabres score 9, Rob. That, I don't know, you must have got your fill of the goal song, I would think, on Saturday afternoon.
It actually got boring a little bit, didn't it, as the game went on?
Yeah.
It was like when there wasn't a goal and there were maybe 5 or 10 minutes when by without a goal. I was like, okay, come on, what's going on here? No, good to see. You know, I think it was good for them. It's good to see a lot of guys doing the scoring, spread it out. It wasn't just, you know, two or three guys carrying the load. You know, it's good for a confidence thing. It's good to do it, especially at home in front of your people. It was a nice, you know, game for them to be, you know, into, and, you know, they showed their appreciation, which was cool. You know, but I think you got to sit back and think, too. Ottawa is not the greatest team in the world, and goaltending is not the greatest thing, and their D's a little weak. It's a very young team. So, you know, you took advantage. The good thing is you took advantage of a team that had a lot going against them, and I took advantage of a team that you probably should beat, and you didn't back off after you scored 4, 5, 6 goals. You just kept going and going and going, and you had that, you know, hunger to keep, you know, rolling the number up, which is nice. Too many times you start getting in bad habits, and you know, you start giving up one or two here and there, and guys try to be individuals instead of continuing to play with each other. I thought for the most part they did that, and that was good to see because they stuck together as a team. It just didn't all of a sudden start separating because guys got greedy.
Rob, the Sabres have three straight games of at least 40 shots. And in fact, one, they had 48 yep. shots a few games ago against Ottawa. And I read a stat today that says if they do it again tonight, it's the first time since 1975 that would have happened. But can you kind of explain, you know, the difference between good shots and bad shots and what all having 40 shots actually means? And, you know, why is this happening? And should we be encouraged by this? Because there are all types of shots.
Well, yeah, you're encouraged by the number of shots, but sometimes it kind of gets screwed by the quality of shot, as you said. A lot of the shots when you're watching these games, there's nobody in front. There's no challenge in front. It's clear shots. It's shots from the outside, you know, shots from the point. So are they dangerous? No, not in today's modern hockey. The shots that you like to see are the ones when there's traffic in front and maybe the goalie makes the save and there's a second and third opportunity. They're the really good ones, and that's the ones where you see that, hey, they're doing their job. You know, the unfortunate thing, you get that many shots, I think it's 129 over the last three games, you know, you're only getting 2 points out of it. But that shot mentality, I think it gets you into that frame of mind of, okay, I'm going to shoot. Now, okay, the next step is making sure that there's somebody there. You got to get that offside winger driving to the net a little more and not being so hesitant. You know, when you're getting a lot of shots on the power play, make sure that guy's in front of the net. Make sure that guy's screening the goaltender, not stepping away from the side of the goaltender, you know, when the puck's coming in. Too many times, you know, Sammy Reinhart does a great job getting in front of the net. When the shot comes, seems to be turning his body a lot. And so he's allowing the goaltender to see the shot coming and looking to try to deflect the puck with a stick instead of keeping his body in front and then maybe looking for that rebound if he does, you know, the puck does get stopped by the goaltender or something. So I think it's where the shot's coming from. You want to see him from the slots and you want to see that, you know, second and third opportunity that, you know, they're the really good ones. Too many times you see a lot of teams, yeah, they just hit the blue line, bang, take the shot. But, you know, that shot is not going in on the modern-day goaltender 99.9% of the time. So it is good that they're getting them, but you'd like to see them make a little more out of them when they are getting them.
I know we talked a lot about Jason Pominville last week with his 1,000th game, and it was nice what Ottawa did, recognizing it in the building there. And, you know, it seemed like some of the crowd even appreciated that and gave him an ovation, and that was nice. Have you had a chance to just talk to him about this opportunity he's got here, Rob, to be on this line? I mean, this is one of the most dangerous lines in the league right now with Skinner and Eichel, and it feels like, to me, Pominville is just the savvy veteran hanging out there, and he's just reaping the rewards.
Yeah, but I think he's doing more than that. I think he's kind of pulled that line together and, you know, doing a good job of helping them out mentally along the way too. You know, obviously Palmer's been around a long time, and he's seen a lot, and he's played with some really good players, and that's the kind of thing that he can kind of pass on. And, you know, you're watching it every night. Not so much Skinner, because he's in his own world, as I say, you know, when he's out there, but he's focused on what he's doing. A lot of communication between Jack and Palmer on the bench, and, you know, he understands what his role is now, and his role is to keep them going and get him going. Might not stay there. He says, you know, it might not last, but, you know, at least while I'm here, I'm going to be able to, you know, do what I got to do to help him out, to get him going, because that's going to determine pretty much your outcome of your team if you can get Jack going and keep him going. And you know, that communication and that bond maybe that Skinner and Eichel have, you always look for lines out there, and it's not three guys, it's two guys. If you get two guys that can play together and feed off each other and play well, you could just about put anybody on that the other side, and, you know, it should fit in. So right now he's done a really good job of getting those two working off each other, and he's done an excellent job of being in the right place at the right time and capitalizing when he can and gets a chance. So he's doing an excellent job. But, you know, I think more importantly, he's really got those two guys kind of blended and bonded together, and they're those two that could stay together for a long time.
Amongst the rest of the forward groups here, the other line combinations, do you feel like some group, maybe a pairing, is about to kind of break out? I guess I'm thinking about Mittelstadt. It feels to me like Mittelstadt for a while here has been like more dangerous than he was, say, what have they played, 15 games now? Maybe the first 7 or 8, I didn't see much. I feel like the last couple of weeks, Mittelstadt is real close to putting up a lot more points.
I think his key is just still trying to find who he can find that chemistry with. And I think that, you know, they're kind of hoping maybe it was Sam or something. You know, they switched the lines again tonight that Sam's going to play with Savotka and Rodriguez. So, you know, there's another situation. Firing that line up a little bit to try to find some chemistry. But you want to try to find two guys that are going to be here for a long period of time. So you want to find somebody that Mittelstadt can play with for, you know, not just a week or 2 weeks, but somebody he could play together for the next few years type thing. So, yeah, I just think that he's changed his game a lot from what he played probably in the past, because he was always that guy that had the puck in the stick, and he was always that guy that was making the play, and he was always that guy that was, you know, maybe leading the rush. Now it's not the same. He's had to learn how to play along the walls. He's had to learn to play down deep and, you know, battle along the walls to come up with pucks, and I think it's been good for him in a way, and I do think that as soon as he does get himself maybe on a little bit of a roll, he'll be able to continue it, because he is working that hard, and I think that's the great thing. Too many young kids, when they don't have success, they're going to just kind of shy away and head hang a little bit, but this kid's taking a totally different approach. He's working harder even, and, you know, working harder in areas that he's never really had to play before, and that's what I respect about this guy. Yep. But I think it's just a matter of finding that guy that, you know, have that chemistry with him, and hopefully it carries through.
He'll be starting this game with Sherry and Oposo on his wings. We'll see how that goes. All right, Rob. Carey Price tonight, do we know, by the way? I'm assuming Carey Price.
Yeah, pretty sure Price is in net, and Allmark is in net for us.
Right. All right, man. Thanks a lot for this, and we'll look forward to visiting with you, I guess, next Tuesday. The Sabres are home for the Lightning.
Yeah, it's a long time in between, eh?
Yeah. Well, they're home on Saturday afternoon, too, but it's just not us. You know, we won't be there for that. Unless you want me to come hang out Saturday. I mean, I guess I could try to find some
time. If you need tickets, just let me know.
All right, buddy. Have a good broadcast tonight, and we'll see you when you get back.
All right, guys, take care.
As Rob Ray in Montreal, Sabres and Canadiens coming up at 7:30, and Rob's appearance on the Western Hotline today brought to you by Jim's Stakeout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life go forth to Firth, by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by Steve Foley Law. Settle for more today. Settle for more with Steve Foley. Call 249-20.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.